You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. Coming up next on People Rise Up, a look at this weekend's Bush War Crimes Commission.
This is Howard Zinn. When the possibility of far-reaching war crimes and crimes against humanity exists, people of conscience have a solemn responsibility to inquire into the nature and scope of these acts and to determine if they do in fact rise to the level of war crimes and crimes against humanity. The International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity is going to take place in the Grand Ballroom of the Manhattan Center on 34th Street. October 21st at 6 p.m. and October 22nd at 10 a.m. And this is a commission which is going to look at crimes against humanity committed by the Bush administration of the United States. And the first session is going to have the presentation of indictments and witnesses. And if you need more information, you can go to www.bushcommission.org.
You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO, your listener-powered, non-commercial community radio station here in Portland, Oregon. My name is Andrew Geller, and that was Howard Zinn recorded in a public service announcement for the event about which I am going to be presenting for the next half hour with my guest, Larry Everest. He has been a journalist for over 20 years, primarily covering the Middle East and Central Asia for the Revolutionary Worker and other publications. He's traveled in the region several times. He has written a couple of books. In 1986, he wrote Behind the Poison Cloud about Union Carbide's Bhopal disaster. And most recently, he wrote, I don't have the title of his latest book. Well, Larry, welcome to KBOO's Airwaves.
Hey, Andrew.
Hi.
It's good to be with you. And, you know, I do know the title of my book.
Excellent. What is it?
Oil, Power, and Empire.
Right.
Iraq and the U.S. Global Agenda from Common Courage Press. And you can even get it on my website, which is www.larryeverest.com.
Okay, I got it now in front of me here. Well,
there you go.
Thank you very much for being able to talk to us this morning about the upcoming, and here's the official title, and it's the only time I'm going to mention it, the 2005 International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity, committed by the Bush administration of the United States. I'm going to be calling this the Bush Commission, the Bush Crime Commission, etc.
Fine with me.
Now, you are listed in the section of the website that talks about witnesses, jurists, and prosecutors. Which one of those are you going to be? Are you a witness?
Prosecutor.
You're going to be a prosecutor. Okay. That's good. That'll change a little bit what I want to ask you about. But let's just start out with context for this commission. Can you tell us a little bit about where this idea is coming from?
Well, this was inspired by the Not in Our Name Statement of Conscience, a sponsoring organization. People can go to www.nion.us and read these statements of conscience, two of which have been done since September 11th, 2001, have been reprinted in the New York Times page ads, signed by thousands of people. And the statement of conscience makes two basic points that inspired this. First, that no election, whether fair or fraudulent, can legitimize illegal wars, war crimes, torture, the suppression of science, and the denial of fundamental rights. And the second is that history will judge us very sharply if we do not speak out against these abuses. So you could hear in Howard Zinn's words at the top of your show the point that guides the work of the International Commission, which is when the possibility of war crimes and crimes against humanity exists, it's our responsibility to investigate and speak out against them. And that's precisely what we're doing in our opening session, which begins this Friday. And I want to stress opening. I know the listeners are in Portland there, and most of them probably are not going to drive or fly to Manhattan. However, our work is going to be ongoing, and we need support, financial, intellectual support, all sorts of participation to carry out this work. But what we're doing, we think what we're doing is very timely and very urgent. We aim to do nothing short of reframing the entire discussion of how the Bush regime is looked at. We know that many, many people are very troubled and unhappy and have deep questions about the direction Bush is taking the world, but they still do not understand the depth of the criminality and the ruthlessness and the catastrophic nature, just how catastrophic this administration is. So our aim is nothing less than to frame and fuel a society-wide discussion. Is this administration not simply guilty of bungling or corruption or errors or insider conflict of interest, but actually guilty of war crimes and crimes against humanity? That is what is urgently needed, because that is the reality. And the other thing, so we feel this has the potential to reframe this entire debate, which is, Andrew, I mean, one of the things that makes this so urgent is that the people that are supposedly the opposition, the Democrats, agree with 80% of Bush's agenda, are doing nothing to oppose it. It's impossible they even hold hearings to find out the full truth of the matter in all the different actions concerning Bush, whether it be Iraq or global warming or Hurricane Katrina. So that's our mission, and specifically what's also different about what we're doing. There have been important tribunals on the Iraq war. I've participated in the World Tribunal on Iraq in Istanbul, very important session, and we're building off that work regarding Iraq. But the Bush administration's crimes are not limited to the war. They also include torture and indefinite detention, basically ripping up habeas corpus and legal rights going back 400 years, giving the president the right to deem anyone he just wants an illegal combatant, enemy combatant, and disappear them. And they're openly trying to justify torture. Many regimes around the world have tortured people. I can't think of one that has openly justified it and tried to legitimize it, and these people have. And then we have, as was illustrated in Katrina, here's a moment when the science of global warming is well established, when many scientists are saying the world is at a point of no return on this. The devastating consequences of this are unimaginable, impacting millions and millions of people around the world without exaggeration. And yet, what is the Bush regime doing? They're not only denying the science, they are accelerating global warming, and they are undermining efforts by the world to contain global warming. And finally, our final indictment is on assaults on global health and reproductive rights. Most specifically, if you are enforcing an abstinence-only policy in the midst of an AIDS pandemic, this is tantamount to genocide because you're condemning thousands and thousands of people. Today, this is particularly true in Africa, to death, because it's been, through scientific studies, it has been shown that abstinence only does not work. In fact, it's the least effective method of controlling the spread of sexually transmitted diseases. The Bush administration is actively preventing countries, Uganda to name one, and the latest in the newspapers, from using, from giving people condoms, from giving them sex education, from having Planned Parenthood type of clinics for people, and of course women's right to choose and get abortions and so on. And literally thousands, millions of dollars are being withheld, thousands of clinics are being shut. And again, this is just in Africa alone, and the consequences of which are devastating for, you know, spreading this pandemic and costing untold numbers their lives. So these are our charges. We are serious about investigating them, about finding out the truth, and about, you know, rigorously determining the Bush administration's culpability about this, and then publishing before the world our findings and conclusions. And we think this is extremely, extremely urgent and needed right now.
Well, let me paraphrase just a little bit here from the charter statement that the commission has put forward from its website at www.bushcommission.org. Quoting, "The commission's jury of conscience will be composed of internationally respected jurists and legal scholars, prominent voices of conscience, and experts and monitors in relevant fields. The tribunal's legitimacy is derived from its integrity, its rigor in the presentation of evidence, and the stature of its participants. Representatives of the Bush administration will be invited to present a defense." And additionally, from the frequently asked questions file associated with the charter statement, it asks, what is a crime against humanity? And what is used here is the standard adopted by the International Criminal Court, which the United States has refused to recognize. But there is a list of about 10 or so activities which are considered to be a crime against humanity, the last of them being other inhumane acts of a similar character, on and on and on. So it kind of leaves it open-ended, subject to interpretation of a situation. But I see straight off, too, that I, you know, based on what I've read over the past several years, two, which it's pretty clear the Bush administration would be guilty of. It's just a matter of the details. Now, I also read someplace in the Bush Commission website that the commission will not be restricted to existing international law in its, I don't know if it was in the context of kind of rendering
That's
a judgment.
Right.
Can you explain that a little?
In its investigation. That's right.
Yeah. Can you explain what is meant by that?
Well, this is an important point, Andrew, because our mission is fundamentally moral and political. I believe the words the Charter use, referencing international law where applicable. Take the war in Iraq and the torture issue. These are clearly violations of international law as currently understood by nearly everyone, unless you're on the Bush payroll. Very clear violations of treaties and United Nations declarations and so on against aggressive war and inhumane treatment and so on. And when we do the Iraq indictment, for example, which I'm involved in, we're certainly going to note all the egregious violations of existing international law, that have taken place in that war. However, even there, we are not limiting our charge to international law, because after all, international law is an evolving concept. and is shaped by the powers that be, it is not necessarily the final word on right and wrong in the world today. If you lived in Germany in 1941, at that point within Germany, it was not illegal under then-existing international law to put Jews in the gas chambers. Does that mean people of conscience shouldn't have spoken out against it? Of course not. You know, so that's why our mission is first and foremost broadly moral and political. Even in the case of Iraq, this is a war that's not only illegal, it is unjust and immoral. And one of the things I'm going to be pointing out is the nature of the war, which is actually a war for imperialism and greater empire. The goal of this is not liberating the Iraqi people. It's actually subjugating Iraq more firmly within the U.S. empire and using it as a staging grounds for further adventures. Now, that may or may not, you know, one could probably find provisions of international law that were relevant, but basically imperialism, unfortunately, has not been outlawed. That doesn't make it right. Or if you take the case of global warming or the AIDS pandemic, these are new phenomena confronting humanity. These were things that were not understood at the time of the Geneva Conventions, for example, or the Nuremberg Trials after World War II, nor even the Rome Charter in the 1980s, and it's been amended into the 1990s. These were not understood. Yet, if you look at the impact of global warming or the AIDS pandemic, we're talking about the potential catastrophe that makes war, with the exception of nuclear war, pale in comparison. But we're being very clear on this. You know, we feel we're acting in the broad spirit of the definition of crimes against humanity as put out in something. You know, there's a standard Black's Law Dictionary, and it talks about actions that shock the world and threaten to displace or exterminate whole populations. Now, certainly the impact of global warming and a rise in sea level of 5, 10, 15 feet would certainly qualify under that definition, as would the impact of the AIDS pandemic. But we're being quite rigorous about this, and we're not, and we're making clear, you know, that we're driving our principles mainly from the needs and interests of humanity and law where applicable. And this was similar to the World Tribunal on Iraq. Aaron Dottie Roy gave a very powerful opening talk. Mm-hmm. In which he said, our ambitions are far greater than international law. Our ambitions are to speak on behalf of the oppressed of the world. And I found that very moving and very apropos.
You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO in Portland, Oregon. My guest today is journalist and author Larry Everest, and we are talking about the Bush Crimes Commission that will take place. The first part will take place this weekend, Friday and Saturday, in New York City. You can find out more about it online at www.bushcommission.org, and you can find out more about Larry Everest at larryeverest.com. And there's also links to all that and much, much more at the People Rise Up website located at kboo.fm. Now, let's talk in a little bit more detail about some of the indictments. And for folks who may have joined us late, the four groups of indictments that will be leveled against the Bush administration at this commission have to do with wars of aggression, torture and indefinite detention, destruction of the global environment, and attacks on global public health. Now, as you mentioned earlier, Larry, you attended and presented at the World Tribunal on Iraq earlier this year, and so let's focus on things related to the war against Iraq in the context of these indictments. So I'm going to read these first three counts that it was a war of aggression, and you've addressed some of this, so we don't need to go over all of it again. So the three counts are the Iraq war was a crime of aggression. Count two is the conduct of the war involved the commission of war crimes. And count three is that the occupation of Iraq involved and continues to involve the commission of war crimes, crimes against humanity, and other illegal acts. And if in the context of Saddam Hussein's quote unquote trial beginning today adds any additional argument here, feel free to incorporate that.
Well, that is, I'm glad you mentioned Saddam's trial. I have been pointing out when I've been interviewed that, you know, Saddam is supposedly being held accountable. What about Bush? If you look at it, the U.S. was actually directly complicit in Saddam Hussein's most egregious acts. And I think that one of the reasons that the initial prosecution of Saddam is being restricted to one incident in which 150 people in a small town north of Baghdad were killed as retaliation for an assassination attempt, which is certainly a crime. That's not the point. But the things that were used as propaganda justifications for the war in 2003, such as the gassing of the Kurds and the invasion of Iran and so on, are not even mentioned here because, of course, if you start mentioning them, the question would naturally come up, why was the U.S. actually supporting these actions at the time? So the hypocrisy here is monumental. Another reason for our inquiry to bring this full truth out, and I might just say that in terms of retaliation questions, what about the United States that destroyed the city of Fallujah in retaliation for the killing of four mercenaries there in April 2004? The other thing, just in relation to Saddam Hussein and the work of our commission, the fact of the matter is that the numbers for Saddam Hussein attributed deaths to Saddam are 300,000. Well, the fact of the matter is that the United States, with two wars and 13 years of sanctions, has murdered double or triple that number of Iraqis. Again, where's the accountability there? Andrew, I did also just want to mention quickly before we run out of time that at our first hearing this weekend, we are also having an evidentiary hearing on whether the Bush administration committed crimes in its actions in regards to Hurricane Katrina, mm-hmm. Both before the hurricane, during the hurricane in its negligent and brutal reaction, and also afterward, particularly in regard to efforts to perhaps depopulate New Orleans of the black population, which is what One Heritage Foundation study calls for. We are bringing an unprecedented number of witnesses from New Orleans and the Gulf, some experts who can give fill in the background, others, you know, people like Jeremy Scahill, the journalist, Robert Bullard, Professor John Clark, both of whom have written about the environmental issues involved. Malik Rahim is one of the people coming up. People may have heard him on Democracy Now! Before, but we also have other people coming up who have never spoken to the press at all. And we also, there's a very exciting gathering of people. I mean, this effort has been endorsed by people like Cornel West and Gore Vidal. People, again, can go to bushcommission.org and see the full list of endorsers. But this weekend, Howard Zinn is taping a special message to the commission. Marcus Raskin of the Institute for Policy Studies will be speaking. Michael Ratner, Mark Crispin Miller. Some of our witnesses include Dennis Halliday, the former UN Assistant Secretary General, Ray McGovern, a former CIA analyst who your listeners have probably read online at antiwar.com or truthout.com, Camilo Mejia, one of the first GIs to turn against the war when he refused to return to Iraq. Dennis Brutus will be there, and Barbara Olshansky, the lead attorney on the Guantanamo cases, will be presenting the torture indictment. So it's going to be a very powerful evening. And, you know, one way that listeners in Portland could support this would be very important is to go online at bushcommission.org and buy tickets. I realize you probably can't come and use the tickets, but this would be a very important way to support this effort. We do, if this commission is to have the impact that it so urgently needs to have, there's great disgust with Bush, but let's be real. The level of resistance is not at all commensurate with the urgency of stopping the direction this government is taking. Our effort is on the intellectual and on the moral front. Of course, I personally support efforts like World Can't Wait, Drive Out the Bush Regime, that's taking this on in a more activist, on the activist side of things. But in either case, the level of resistance simply isn't commensurate. So it's very important that this commission have a powerful impact on public opinion. And again, people could go to www.bushcommission.org and buy tickets. That would be very helpful for our efforts.
Towards the end of the charter, it references that attempts will be made to publicize and broadcast the deliberations. Is there going to be any, and you may not know this,
I can answer that. We're videotaping the whole first opening session this weekend. We would love to make that available in audio or video format to people like yourself, Andrew. And as I mentioned, we're going to be doing full hearings in probably by January. Right. At which we will do the same thing, video and audio tape, and try to make these really readily available. And, of course, we may be publishing our findings as well.
Yeah, that would be really great for, you know, not only for radio stations to be able to have access and be able to broadcast some of the content, but for just individuals who are interested, you know, everything's about podcasting now. And if you want to, you know, listen to these hearings while you're out running or something like that, it only makes sense to let people do that.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Well, it sounds really fascinating, and I'm sure you'll have a really good turnout. I obviously will not be getting back to Manhattan for this, but I wish you all the best of luck in what is only the preliminary set of hearings, and again, a bigger set in January.
And, you know, I would just also, in addition to buying tickets online at bushcommission.org, email your list. You know, the email goes mm-hmm. from Portland to Latin America to New York and all over the world. And this is, if you have friends in New York or if you're on email lists, please download some of the material from the website and send it on your list and encourage people to come. And I'm sure that it will get around to people in New York, and that would be important to get people out.
My guest today has been journalist and author Larry Everest. We've been talking about the Bush Crimes Commission, which is taking place in Manhattan this Friday and Saturday. Larry's latest book is called Oil, Power, and Empire, Iraq and the U.S. Global Agenda. You can find out more about him online at LarryEverest.com. Thanks a whole lot for joining us this morning, Larry.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Once again, bushcommission.org is the location for all things related to this weekend's commission. Thanks very much for listening. Next week, we'll be having an update from Geneva about what the World Trade Organization is doing in advance of the Hong Kong ministerial. Stay tuned in to KABU during that weekend in early December. We aim to have a lot of live sound from Hong Kong for you, our listener, because we know how much you love live WTO coverage. If you have any comments or questions about this or any other show you've heard, please feel free to email me at kboo@riseup.net. You can also send regular paper mail here to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214.
And thanks very much for listening.